Hey, welcome to the Deadpool Popcorn Cast.
Yes, Deadpool is a thing. It's a real movie. We saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Nick Henderson. I'm here with Nolan Hedstrom.
How's it going, everybody?
And Christopher Guthridge.
Hey, what's
our
up?
Resident Deadpool expert.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but
I'd say you are more of a Deadpool expert than either of us.
Okay,
that's likely.
Fair. That's fair.
I mean, we brought you to this podcast specifically so you can fill in all the holes.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Yeah,
fill in all the holes.
Fill the holes with my girthy knowledge. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In the spirit of Deadpool, we're going to fill all of our holes with girthy knowledge.
Yes.
So we saw Deadpool a couple days ago, and it is doing quite well.
Oh, definitely.
It is a very, very fun movie.
Yes.
It's very good.
You know, I think I'll start by saying one thing that really surprised me was that, well, not necessarily a surprise, I was kind of expecting it going in, but I can't remember the last movie I saw that had people, like, cracking up laughing before, like, the opening credit scene had even finished. Like, before a line of dialogue had ever been spoken, people were dying laughing.
Yeah, I mean, the whole opening credit sequence is in and of itself a bit.
Yeah, a bit. A joke.
And a pretty funny one.
Yeah, like, it's pretty awesome bit. Someone else go. Because I was about to start talking about something that I feel I should probably save to the end.
Yeah, so well, obviously we're going to non-spoilery stuff at the beginning, maybe the first 10 minutes, and then we can just spoil the shit out of it. I agree. I thought it was a very funny film. Some of the jokes fell slightly flat, but I think overall, I mean, because this is definitely a movie where scenes where there aren't jokes and bits going on are few and far between.
Yeah,
because they are constantly just like bit after bit after joke after joke, and there are a few scenes of downtime in between.
I'd say it's a numbers game because of the sheer volume of jokes. You know, not all of them are going to land.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the vast majority of them did.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I rewatched the movie a second time recently. Oh. And,
you did too, Crispy, right?
No, I did not actually. I was going to, and then I went and played D&D instead.
Shh, this fucking guy.
Didn't you have tickets?
Yeah, well, I mean, Campbell was gonna go, but I didn't realize it was on Valentine's Day and he was going with his girlfriend, and I was like, you know what, I don't want to be part of that or whatever, so I just told him to refund my ticket. So
no, you didn't want to be part of the
yeah, you know, just all these couples going out and seeing Deadpool on Valentine's Day. I was like, no, I'm gonna go be with my people, the lonely single nerds who play D&D on Valentine's Day.
Fair enough.
Yeah, to each his own.
So I think before we really delve into the movie, I think one thing that we should definitely cover is like the lead up, like the history of the film, the leading up to it, the marketing of the film is pretty incredible.
Did y'all see that Ryan Reynolds tweeted out or something? There was a photo of Ryan Reynolds and the Deadpool marketing team, and it was like 40 people. It was like
the conference room.
Yeah.
I saw the memed version of that that had the. Had the John Travolta from Pulp Fiction walking around in the background all confused.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
They did that with the Batman versus Superman trailer.
Yeah, the John Travolta's in everything recently. His Pulp Fiction character, Vincent.
Yeah.
Vega. I agree that this film has had a very long history. Deadpool has had a very long history. We've seen him once in cinema before.
Played by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Oh,
ironically enough.
Same actor. In the shittiest possible form.
Dude, this movie in and of itself has been in some shape or form, like, he's been trying to have this movie made for quite some time. I think like 10 to 11 years has been thrown around a lot in interviews and whatnot. But for whatever reason, like, and actually I ended up watching a 30 minute like Google talk with Ryan Reynolds where he did nothing but talk about Deadpool and take questions from people. And he was pretty candid about it, like to the point where he was even like, of course, throwing around some trash talk about Fox executives and things like that.
Yeah.
And of course they asked him about, the portrayal of the character in Wolverine. And, You know, that's obviously been a very sore spot for the character. But one thing I actually learned from that interview, and this is like, you know, for a long time people have been talking about, you know, Ryan Reynolds is a huge Deadpool fan, and he's, you know, he's going to bat for this character and for this movie and trying to get it made. And I watched his interview, and like, you know, not to under like I'm not trying to undercut his like fandom of this character, but like he told me like that someone asked him when he first heard about Deadpool, and it was actually when he was on set filming Blade 3. So like he's not like he was introduced to the character because someone basically told him if they ever make a Deadpool movie, you absolutely have to play this character.
Well, I don't think that's an issue with him liking.
No, it's not an issue. It's just like I was under the impression that like he was like a huge Deadpool fan, like trying to get this made forever. And
most Deadpool fans have only been fans for a couple years.
That's what I was gonna say. Is yeah, Deadpool, while he has been around for what 90? When did Deadpool show up? 93.
Mid-90s, something like that. It was at the height of like the fucking ridiculous pouch and pocket phase.
Yeah. So to that regard, you know, Ryan Reynolds couldn't really have grown up with Deadpool.
Oh, here we go. The character first appeared in the New Mutants number 98, February 1991.
91. Ooh. Okay, so 91.
Is that a good one, Crispy? Is that?
Well, no, it's just 91. It's like, you know, the time when Rob Liefeld was a fucking golden boy in comics. Oh, my God.
Deadpool's definitely not as old as a lot of the other iconic characters. And so, I mean, yeah, and it's one of those things where you can't poo-poo someone because they didn't know about something.
No, I'm not trying to poo-poo him. I was just like, for the longest time, I had a different vision of, like, his history with the character, and I found out, you know, that someone basically showed him this. Like, it was funny, like he was telling the story and he was talking about someone told him, like, you should absolutely play this character if you ever have a chance to do a Marvel movie or whatever. And like he was like, who is this character? And they showed it to him, and someone gave him like, I'll bring you a comic and I'll show you the character. And they brought him an issue of the comic where Deadpool references Ryan Reynolds. References looking like a cross between a Sharpay and Ryan Reynolds or something. And that was literally his introduction to the character, which I thought was really interesting. It was just kind of surprising to me to hear the actual origin story of like this movie and how Ryan Reynolds came to be a fan of this character. And now,
and so, I mean, to that regard, yeah, Blade Trinity came out in 2004.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a little over 10 years after Deadpool showed up. And that was 12 years ago.
About
11 years ago. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
So literally from the moment he heard about this character, he's been trying to get this movie.
So yeah, to that regard, there you go. I mean, since he found out about it, he's fell in love, and that's fine. I mean, like I've definitely, found things and immediately fallen in love with them. And, that's when you fucking just all of a sudden start Googling that thing for like 4 hours on end and watching videos and whatever.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm glad. It sucks that, you know, Wolverine Origins happened. We kind of talked about this before Deadpool, the movie, in that, you know, that was during the writer's strike, and there was a lot of issues going into that movie. And it sucks that, you know, he had to portray a character like that. I will say that I don't extremely well remember Origins, but I do remember his portrayal of Wade Wilson wasn't horrible in that regard.
Oh god, so I learned okay, sorry, I don't mean to like shower y'all with like information I learned from this interview, but I thought there was a lot of really interesting stuff that came out of this. But like he was talking about X-Men Wolverine, and he said when the executives first came and asked him to be Deadpool and they showed him the script and whatever, at that point he was like, he told the exec, he was like, I don't really like what you're doing with this character. And the response was pretty much, well, either you're going to do it or we're going to find somebody else to do it. And he was like, okay. So they did the movie. And then at the very end of the movie, they did, after they filmed it, whatever, they did like focus testing. And he was like across the country doing promotion or filming some other movie or whatever. And he got this like frantic phone call from a Fox executive, like, you got to come back to LA like right now. And he's like, what do you mean? Why? And they were like, we did like focus tests for the movie and people hated what we did with Deadpool.
Oh god, we showed it to people. We showed it to people. Showed it to people.
And he was like, I fucking told you so. And they made him fly back to LA to shoot the after the credits scene, which was like his severed head on the ground and like something like he finally like breaks his mouth, like from being sewn open, like he can talk again, and like he winks at the camera or something. And he was like, it was so dumb and so stupid.
Which it's like you're trying to recover from a disaster and not doing very well. And it sucks. But I mean, I think we've given enough time to that movie.
Sure. I have a quick question for Crispy though before we talk about the new movie itself. When Deadpool was introduced, I guess back in 91, he was a different kind of character. Like, did his humor side not?
The way we know Deadpool today has kind of evolved. You gotta remember, Deadpool was created by an idiot who was really taken with characters like Deathstroke, which actually Deathstroke is like kind of the main inspiration for Deadpool.
Yeah.
DC Comics is Deathstroke.
Correct. Yeah.
To the point where, so Deathstroke's real name is Slade Wilson. And
Wade Wilson
is
not similar at all.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, that's just a fucking lift is all that is. And actually, Rob Liefeld gets all the credit / blame for Deadpool, but it was actually Rob Liefeld and another guy named
Fabian
something.
Nisizi?
I can never pronounce it. Yeah, yeah. But
that's because it's a weird name.
Yeah, he was like. This Fabian guy was actually kind of like the writer on the original Deadpool stuff. Rob Liefeld was more of a quote unquote artist.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Deadpool was kind of like, he was kind of a product of his time, you know, in the 90s, everyone was getting really dark and gritty with their comics, you know, which, you know, I can, it is hard to imagine. It's not like anyone's ever tried to do that since. but yeah, he was supposed to be like this badass mercenary who had a lot of like pockets and belts, and he carries two katanas with him, for fuck's sake. I mean,
yeah.
He's just like an over-stylized mess, really. And eventually, other writers came in and had seen that the character, you know, what the character was, and were like, you know what, we could kind of play up his humorous side a bit more. And that's kind of when Deadpool and Cable turned into like, you know, kind of like the straight man, funny man kind of bit that they are kind of known for. So yeah, when Deadpool started getting like funny, that's when people started kind of paying attention, you know?
Yeah.
Especially now.
Rightfully so. And of course that evolved over time and became what Deadpool as we know now. And, you know, I think even by the time Wolverine came out, no one really knew, like, except for people who are avidly, you know, avid comic book readers may not have had any idea. Like, honestly, my first Deadpool thing ever, like, the second X-Men card I ever collected was a Deadpool card. And I had no idea. I was like, this guy looks cool. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that was probably a pretty common misconception. But, so here we are in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Deadpool movie.
Mm-hmm. It's
pretty fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Reynolds nailed it.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's one of those situations where I try and think of other actors that I think could portray Deadpool.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, with other actors. It's only a voice performance, but Nolan North doing Deadpool.
Yeah.
In the Deadpool game, and I think he did it. He did Deadpool in a couple of the like animated shows.
Yeah, he did in a couple of the X-Men or the Wolverine versus Hulk or something like
that.
That was Nolan North. Yeah, no.
And then Will Friedle played him in like the newer like Spider-Man cartoons.
Oh, really?
I
can hear that now in some of the. And so yeah, that my Deadpool, because I didn't really read a whole lot of comic books. Some. Very few. My Deadpool experience comes from stuff like, you know, those small movies and those one-off things. And that's where I know Deadpool from. And I can't remember the first time I started liking Deadpool, but it was off of one of those. It was an animated show. And I really started looking into him. I still didn't get any comics. The first time I got a Deadpool comic was last year. It was the first Deadpool comic I ever actually bought. It's one of those characters. And so, yeah, so what you're saying, Nolan North, I think he portrayed him very well. But the problem is Nolan North is a very different physical actor than voice actor. And while a lot of the movie was animated suit, a lot of it was practical as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the vast majority of it was, except for, you know, some of the action sequences obviously had to incorporate a lot of CG, but for the most part, he was straight up in the suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they had a really good mix there between like the CG and the practical stuff. I mean, most of the time, the only thing that's really being animated is his eyes, which also is fantastic.
Oh my God, right?
I love that they actually do that because...
The wide eyes?
It's weird because like in comics, everyone, not everyone, but most people wear some kind of mask, mm-hmm. and it's usually like obstructing the eyes. They have like the white lenses and everything. Mm-hmm. But comic book artists still want to draw these characters emoting with their faces, you know? And that's something that never really transfers over. Mm-hmm. Batman's a perfect example of that.
Like the mask, because his mask was CG most of the time. Anytime you could see, like, if he was sad, I remember there's that one moment when, when something sad happens, I don't want to spoil. I mean, I guess we're over 10 minutes in. Fuck it.
When Francis escapes?
That's what I was going to say. So
yeah, and he's like, his eyes go all wide and everything.
Yeah, like his eyes go wide and he puts his hands on his face and he gets all sad. But yeah, you can see like his mask like shaping and forming and stuff. And so there was a lot of
emotive mm-hmm. gestures mm-hmm. or motions in the face, which was great.
And to the wide eyes as well. Like a lot of superheroes have like that wear that mask, have wide eyes under things. Batman's always had like white eyes under his mask, but in any movie they don't do that.
Yeah,
they always just put a mask on him with like just fucking black eye makeup around his eyes. And so I really do like that they went with like that. His outfit's like spot on.
Yeah, that costume is fucking legit. Mm-hmm. And I think another really good choice that could have easily been fucked up by some kind of executive is you can always tell whenever there's a movie, like a superhero movie starring some big name actor, the producers and everything get really squeamish about keeping him in the mask.
They always want to have scenes where his mask is off and take off his mask.
It's like, we're paying for Christian Bale, you should see his face at least half the time, you know, like that kind of shit. And obviously Ryan Reynolds gets a lot of face time in this movie, but
I think they
kept him in the mask an appropriate amount of time.
I think that like the, cause the movie doesn't start out with an origin story. It starts off kind of like in the middle.
Yeah. They kind
of, and then they turn to you in a little bit. Then they cut back to the origin story part. And so
we're officially spoiling, right?
Oh yeah. No spoilers.
So like the movie literally opens with the scene of him dropping into the roof at the SUV.
Mm-hmm. A reshoot of that test footage from last summer.
Yeah, exactly. And like,
which was a fantastic scene.
Which was an amazing scene.
Great action sequence.
Like, and you know the sheer number of jokes that were just crammed.
That's the thing, Nick. Is especially because lately, you know, once again, I only know Deadpool from the cartoons and stuff, and he's always wisecracking. But more recently, I did start reading some comics, and that's the thing. Is like. Every fucking other sentence that comes out of his mouth is some sort of joke.
Yeah.
Some sort of wisecrack is him, you know, the voices in his head arguing with each other.
Yep.
They call him the Merc with the Mouth, which is amazing. Yeah. They took a character whose literal nickname is the Merc with the Mouth, put him in a movie, and took his fucking mouth away.
You know, well, yeah, you're kind of beginning to understand the frustration that I was feeling that summer. But yeah, I mean, even if you compare this movie Deadpool to like the comic book version, I mean, even the movie is a bit more, he's showing a bit more range of emotion and he's kind of dealing with some more human drama than he ever does in the comic book. And the comic book is always just like, it is fucking ridiculous. It's like him getting his head cut off, him saying, you know, fucking, like enchiladas and pancakes and shit like that all the time. It's a butt joke, fart joke. It's ridiculous that but the fact that they were able to do that they were able to put that actual kind of traditional sort of like human conflict story in mm-hmm. there with him
They were able to tie in the more down-to-earth realistic human conflict, you know, the whole him and a girl and then a guy comes in between that. But they were also at the same time able to get all of the fucking jokes in there.
Did I say enchiladas?
You said enchiladas. I think
chimichangas.
And to your point, we talked about it after the movie. I'm glad that they didn't go too over the top with any particular joke, especially like chimichangas. You know, chimichangas is something that everyone has recently come to know Deadpool loves. And so if you look anywhere on the internet, it's just chimichangas everywhere.
He says it one time.
One time in the movie.
People in the theater were literally eating chimichangas while watching.
That is true.
Yeah, they were vegetarian.
Yeah, but yeah, at the very end of the movie, right before the final showdown, he says, let's make the fucking chimichangas or something like that.
Those chimichangas at the draft house were vegetarian?
Yes.
Sure were.
That's why I didn't get one.
Is he a vegetarian?
I don't think so.
Or did Alamo Drafthouse just drop the ball?
It's just they got a supplier who was able to get them some chimichangas, and they were only vegetarian.
They were vegetarian.
Yeah, so they're like,
they were frozen chimichangas. And
I want to slap the chimichangas out of their hands, but they
definitely were not handmade chimichangas in that. Yeah. Anyway,
I told you they were frozen.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, because I asked. But anyway, this movie. So yeah. Fucking 20 minutes in. One of the things I noticed, and I read a little bit, that this movie did not have a big budget.
No. In fact, they had to cut $7 million out of the budget at the last second.
Yes. And if you watch the movie, you can tell. Like, it's not in the bad way. It's not that, they did some bad CG. Like, honestly, I can only point out, a couple of scenes where the CG didn't look very good.
Well, honestly, so this kind of loosely ties into that thing I was going to try and start saying earlier, but I didn't. And that I feel like the only downside walking into the theater was that, not that I wasn't surprised by this movie, because I was certainly laughing my ass off from start to finish, and there was a lot of great moments that I didn't know were going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, when you really stop to think about it, pretty much all of the action sequences or all of the major sequences in this movie are glimpsed in the trailer.
To an extent.
I think part of that stems from the fact that their budget was so low.
But if you look at the trailers, they only showed a couple of this. Yeah, there's like two major, I guess, fight sequences in the movie. You know, they showed one scene from one of them, I think, the last fight. They only showed one scene from that, I think, in the trailers.
You mean, no, actually, there's quite a bit in that final fight with
Ajax. Really? Yeah, there's two or three fights going on there, because there's Deadpool fighting all the goons and fighting Ajax, and then there's also Colossus fighting Angel Dust and Negasonic.
Yeah. To that extent. They showed a few scenes from each of those fights, but that's all they showed. The trailers, there was not a whole lot.
When you think about it, they showed little clips from all the major sequences in the movie, but they recycled them so much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They kept using the same clips they were showing instead of a lot of other movies you look at now, nowadays, right before the movie comes out, you can see a good fucking 20 minutes of the movie.
And then they let the rest of the brilliant fucking marketing speak for itself.
And so that's it. So instead of using all these trailers and stuff, they just had an amazing marketing team, and they shot. So that was kind of one of my questions: is a lot of the stuff that they filmed, was that Ryan Reynolds in an outfit, or was that CG? And I know, definitely some of it was him in an outfit.
Well,
but they filmed a lot of promotional videos. Lot.
In fact, I hate to keep going back to this interview, but if you're at all interested in Deadpool and the history of this movie, go watch that interview, because he talks at length about all of these things that we're talking about. Remember at the end, right before he goes to the fight and he gets all the guns together, and then he rides in the cab over to the
fight. In the Hello Kitty bag?
Yeah.
The Hello Kitty bag, and then he gets out of the cab and leaves the guns in the car. Mm-hmm. When they found out they had to cut the budget by $7 million, they had to cut an entire action sequence that was going to happen with those guns.
So that's why he loses the gun.
That's why he leaves it in the car, because they literally cut an entire action scene out of the movie.
Well, that's how you fucking take lemons and make lemonade.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the funny thing is because I recently rewatched it, and I forgot that at the very beginning of the movie he forgot his ammo bag as well.
Yeah.
That happens.
He had 12 bullets.
Yeah. So he only had 12 bullets to take on all those dudes. That's another great scene where he's like, I only have 12 bullets, so you're going to have to share.
Yeah. Dude, I still think my favorite, moment in the opening sequence, which is funny, because that action sequence on the bridge, it's because of the way they're weaving it in and out of the present day and the past and everything, it literally takes up, the first 30 to 45 minutes of the movie.
It's a little over, I think it's because like I rewatched it recently, it's about 45 minutes, yeah.
Which is great, but my favorite scene, and they chose in the trailer, but when he jumps through the roof and he's kicking those dudes in the fucking car, and then he goes, "Have you seen this man?"
And "Have you seen this man?" And it's just a little crayon drawing.
Yeah.
It says, "My name's Francis."
It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I don't think about
dude, like everything about that, everything that happens on the highway is fantastic. You know, him fighting the dudes, the him getting mad because he keeps shooting at the guy and missing him.
Yeah.
And you know, the one the guy shoots him in the ass and he yeah. uses two extra bullets on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, bad Deadpool, bad.
Yeah.
Like somehow they managed, this movie managed to take that song by Salt and Pepper.
Shoop.
Mm-hmm. Like I immediately wanted to download this song and like crank it in my car while driving. Like yeah. I didn't see that coming either. Like yeah. the soundtrack they picked for this movie is so unconventional but so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for, like even what was the song they played in the opening while the car is in the slow motion spin?
Was that the George Michael song? Or?
Yes. I'm trying to think of how it goes now.
I can't remember it either, but it was brilliant.
I'm trying whatever anyway yeah good song and so yeah so like everything that goes on you know the whole him you know finally taking out Francis and then Colossus and Negasonic team up and it's those little things and that go on that his actions during the scene. I don't know how much of it was improv. I'm sure there was some improv in there because I know Ryan Reynolds loves his improv. It's like when Colossus is fucking giving him the talking to and he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be doing this. And he's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And like mid sentence, Deadpool just picks up a fucking hubcap and tosses it at Francis, Ajax, and hits him in the head. And as soon as it hits him, he's like, heads up. Like shit like that. It's just like, and then he starts the punching Colossus and breaking all his like limbs.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Oh my god. You're just making this harder on yourself.
Like honestly, like even before I watched this movie, I didn't really know what Deadpool's superpower was.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he has multiple.
Yeah. So I a lot of what I actually know about Deadpool now, I kind of learned from watching this movie because obviously the Wolverine didn't really teach me shit about the character.
Yeah.
But like watching him like break all of his bones, I was like, well, I'm going to assume that he can regenerate. Otherwise, this movie's going to get real boring real fast because he literally breaks like all of the major bones in his body.
Yeah.
To beat up Colossus. I love it when he punches him right in the junk and he's like, your poor wife.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, like the best thing is the scene where Colossus shows up because he's pulling back his hand to punch Ajax and he hits Colossus's crotch and he starts feeling like around his dick area.
It's so good. Oh, let's not forget the follow-up later after when he's regrowing his hand,
mm-hmm.
and he's hanging out with
his little baby hand
comes into the shot. That was so like I was wondering like how does someone's hand like regrow?
Yeah,
I wasn't entirely sure, and then I was like, oh, they're gonna show us.
Yeah.
And then that little baby hand just comes out like you see him like with the close-up of his face, and then you just all of a sudden, when you're least expecting it, little baby hand comes up. Oh my god!
And the funny thing is as soon as he kills uses the last of his 12 bullets, he's like, "I'm gonna touch myself tonight," and then he does later in the day. He does touch himself.
Yeah,
that is true. I love how he makes his roommate put his blind roommate
blind Al.
Yeah, put together IKEA furniture.
Yeah,
yeah, he just sits and watches her.
That's pretty impressive how far she made it, considering.
Yeah, especially that she didn't use any screws or anything.
So what about the cameo?
Which one? The Stanley?
Stanley cameo.
Yeah, he was at the strip club. He was the DJ.
That, I mean...
That was funny.
Stanley, how involved is he in the creation of all these characters? Like, was this just...
Yeah, I mean...
Does he have, like, a long history with this character, or, like...
No.
Well, I mean, Stanley's just kind of, like, the godfather of Marvel Comics.
Yeah, like, he was there at the beginning. He made a lot of the early-on characters, and then the rest of the time, he was just kind of, It's kind of one of those things, like, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's just so funny, because, like, you see Stanley in all these Marvel movies, and, you know, Deadpool's so different from all these other Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
I have this like picture in my head of like Stanley just being this like innocent, nice little old man.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like,
no.
But I was to the point where I was like, is he even gonna make a cameo in this movie? Because it's super vulgar. And he not only does he make the cameo, but he does it at a fucking strip club, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I gotta give it to the man because
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that.
Yeah. but I mean, cameos, we talk about, like, one of the things I talked about was, like, I wonder if if Stan Lee is going to be like play himself to an extent, like maybe if Deadpool will refer to him as being Stan Lee.
Which would make sense because.
Yeah. In this case, that kind of went to Rob Liefeld, where he was kind of like himself.
Oh, yeah.
At the first time when they walk into St. Mary's, what's it called? St. Mary's?
The orphanage?
Yeah, whatever it is. The bar, whatever. Like when he walks in, like Rob Liefeld's just sitting there on a chair, and Wade Wilson's like, Liefeld.
Yeah.
He like walks past and like taps him on the shoulder.
See, I didn't catch that because I heard about this cameo after the fact,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really know what Rob Liefeld looks like, so I wasn't waiting for
that.
I'll
bring out a picture of him now.
He looks like a fucking goober.
Yeah,
like
that's
I don't know how to describe it.
You
just kind of want to punch him in the face.
Yeah. one of the things they often the kind of there's a voiceover in this movie kind of going on the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is a love story. And so there, to an extent, there definitely is the relationship of Wade and Vanessa.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. God.
That
scene that
their montage
made me care about those characters, but also made me laugh so hard.
God, that was so funny.
Let's not spoil this joke, but like happy
International Women's
International
Day?
Women's
Day. International Women's Day.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh, you know, the whole like the them playing with balls or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the 48-minute, $275 and fucking
Land
gift
and
card.
A fat-free,
yeah, whatever.
Fat-free dessert.
and then them playing like skee ball and him getting like the ring and whatever.
How much can I get for like all these tickets or whatever? She's like, about 3 minutes and 27 seconds. And he's like, what are we going to do with the other 2 minutes and 52 seconds or something? And she's like, cuddle?
So I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to talk about.
Let's talk about the villain.
Okay. Ajax, the Shope.
Is that an established character? Or was that just a character made up for this movie?
No, he's an actual character, I believe, right? I'm not super familiar with him, but I'm pretty sure I've heard of him before.
I feel like I've heard of him before as well, but...
Francis Fanny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about this guy, but he was another Weapon X dude, Deadpool and...
So I'm looking at his...
Wolverine...
page. It's kind of a weird choice for a villain, but he's certainly not recognizable compared to what he looks like in the comics based on what I'm looking at right now.
I don't know if Ajax was necessarily their first choice. I think it was also a big budget issue. I think they had talked about doing what's his face? Crispy. What's the guy's name that can predict your moves? Starts with a T.
Don't fail me now, Crispy.
Fuck you.
Taskmaster?
Taskmaster?
Yeah.
Oh,
they had talked
shit.
About doing Taskmaster.
Taskmaster?
Well, he kind of predicts your moves, but it's anybody he fights, he memorizes how they fight. So, like, if he's ever fought somebody, the idea is that they can't beat him. But yeah, Taskmaster, he's a fucking crazy psycho badass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. That would have been awesome.
He has a skull for a face.
There you go. They had talked about doing other things, and I guess they settled on Ajax for some reason.
Probably because they just wanted some villain that they could beat the shit out of.
Yeah,
they kill at the end.
Villain.
I mean, how often though does the first movie in like a superhero like series, like movie series, have like the most memorable villain?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, they usually start small.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Then work their way up. And speaking of that, I mean, that kind of segues nicely into this movie has already been approved for a sequel.
Yep.
It's been officially greenlit. And Ryan Reynolds has expressed, like, he loves his character so much and he loved this making this movie so much that he's like, I'll play this movie until they tell me to stop.
Yeah.
Like, his character until they tell me to stop, which is kind of awesome. Like, I don't want them to, like, drive it into the ground, but, like, the fact that we couldn't get a couple, like, two or three more solid, like, Deadpool movies is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that would be really cool, especially if they're introducing Cable as they say they are.
Yeah.
So apparently this is so like any other like Marvel or superhero franchise in general, as far as movies go, like they're going to obviously use this as an opportunity to build up and create a bigger universe, which is why they're going to apparently. So correct me if I'm wrong. So this is owned by Fox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Which is Fox separate from Disney, who owns Marvel in the event, or not, does not own. I guess, yeah, they own Marvel, right?
Yeah. No, Disney owns Marvel, yes.
Yeah, Disney owns Marvel and therefore has the rights to the Avengers movies and like all the superheroes that come.
Basically
with
everything that isn't a mutant or Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Fox does the X-Men.
Or Fantastic Four, sorry.
Yeah, so Fox has Deadpool and X-Men now, right?
Yes, X-Men and Deadpool. And aren't they also the ones that do Fantastic Four?
I believe so.
I can't imagine they're going to go back to that again.
Fantastic Four.
Did you ever watch that movie? Was that?
Nope.
What? Fan Fantastic?
Yes, no, Fantastic.
I did not watch it. I have deep-seated personal issues with that movie, and I probably won't, considering that everyone says it's a steaming pile of shit.
It's got 5% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
That's ridiculous. It's one of those movies, it's like sometimes like I won't watch a movie when it's in theaters, or when it comes out, I'll watch it. But that's one of those movies where I'm like, I don't know if I want to waste my time.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just, it can't be.
Yeah, it
can't be worth it.
The world says it's bad. I'm not going to be like, well, maybe it's not that bad. No, it's probably bad.
It's probably bad.
So,
I mean, Fantastic Four. Oh God! God damn it! Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
We're sidetracking.
Let's shift gears for a second. What I wanted to bring up was they're going to use this as an opportunity to build up towards the X-Force, which is, I guess, what they're
right
the team.
Right.
And obviously, if given its popularity, and it's like, I mean, this is doing really well for Fox. You're starting to see all these ripple effects. Like, they're already talking about giving Wolverine 3, which is the last Wolverine movie, like an R rating.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Like, because,
well, that's been one of those issues in movies for a very long time, is that, you know, PG-13 always makes more money because a wider audience can see it. You know, parents are a lot more okay with their kids seeing a PG-13 movie than an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
And so it's never so much been about staying true to the source material as it has been making money. That's always how it's been. And so Ryan Reynolds, I know, fought for an R rating on this movie. He fought really hard and they got it. And I don't know why they eventually caved in, but whatever they did, and it had an amazing fucking opening weekend, beating out so many other fucking comic book movies opening weekends, and especially like the fact that it came out in February.
Big comic book movies too.
Yeah, on like right next to Valentine's Day. It's really exciting because there's a lot of cool like X universe stories that maybe will get told now that Fox has seen how well this movie did.
Mm-hmm. Like, this set a precedent, especially on the Fox side of things, because Fox, I think the Fox properties have been the biggest, the guiltiest of, like, diverging from the source material in really, like, not good ways. Like,
right.
Really bad ways. So, like...
Well, yeah, they Hollywood everything way too much.
Yeah, but look at Marvel. Like, Marvel is, like, they take liberties with their characters as well.
Sure.
But not to the extent that Fox is doing. Like, not in shitty ways necessarily. Like, I feel like Fox has made mistake after mistake after mistake with their
Marvel Studios they don't have a perfect track record. But you're right. They it also helps that they've got I don't know if Kevin Feige, I think his name was. He was the guy that was basically in charge of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and having one like kind of creative vision that's sort of keeping all these different movies in line certainly helps.
And they don't, I guess Fox doesn't have that?
Fox has never had that, really. I mean, like, Bryan Singer was around for a little while, but, I mean, he left to go do Superman.
You know what? Fuck it. Make Warner Ryan Brothers. Reynolds that person.
Yeah. Well. Hey,
can I just, real quick?
Yeah.
Leading into the, you know, there's a lot of jokes about Hugh Jackman in this movie, and there's been a lot of marketing stuff going on between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman with them on Twitter, and like there was an interview the other day where Ryan Reynolds interviewed Hugh Jackman, which is great. And you know, obviously it kind of made me think, you know, the last two Wolverine movies have not been very good, but not necessarily because of Hugh Jackman. I think Hugh Jackman does a great job with the character, but like, and I was thinking, like, what are the chances we'll get Wolverine in the next Deadpool movie? And then I was just thinking about it, and I was like, now they're talking about making that movie rated R. I think it's probably far more likely that we'll see Deadpool cameo in the next Wolverine movie.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're going to keep doing, Yeah, if they're going to keep doing X movies, Deadpool's going to be all over that shit.
Yeah, and you know, like, Wolverine and Deadpool play off each other so well. Like,
yeah.
And they got to do it. Like, they've got to do... Oh, God. Would that be weird, though?
Hmm.
That would be really fucking weird, because I keep forgetting that X-Men Origins Wolverine was technically the first Wolverine movie. Because I think of it, it's so bad, I think of it as a completely separate thing.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine 2 was not very good, but definitely not as bad.
Wolverine?
The Wolverine, yeah.
Yeah, the Wolverine was not as good.
It was better, but not great.
It was didn't do anything as egregious as the first one. And now, if we were to see that character interact with Deadpool again, it'd be like two versions of Deadpool in the same franchise. How meta can you get?
Well, you know, I'm sure they won't address it, but
yeah, and they probably won't. And that's something that they've kind of talked about that was kind of difficult with this and going forward is continuity, especially and Deadpool even fucking makes a quip about it in the movie when Colossus is like, I'm taking you to the professor, and he says McAvoy or Stewart. It's so hard to keep these timelines in order.
Yeah.
Because there's different, and so whatever, and that's kind of one of the things where right now Deadpool's kind of in its own universe. You know, the only other people they had were Colossus, who has very rarely shown up, and this one was a complete CG.
I love the joke when he goes to the actual X-Men mansion, mm-hmm. and he knocks on the door, and he's like, "That's weird, I keep getting the same guy. It's like there's only two of you in there." It's like
the studio couldn't afford any other, like, X-Men licenses. Yeah, and so going forward, they have to kind of, that's something they have to be conscious of do they tie in other people? Who do they bring in? You know, what is the timeline and stuff like that?
Yeah. So,
if they're going...
This is an opportunity, I think, for them to make maybe a decent Wolverine movie, because I think Deadpool has been a very good example of what works versus what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those situations where it's not so much what works. It's the fact that they made a good movie, for one thing.
Yeah.
They made a good movie. They were true to the source material. And you know, the fact is the source material is R-rated. The source material is not for kids.
Well, yeah, this is, and I've been saying this about the Deadpool movie. This is one of the few comic book movies that actually kind of feels like a comic book story shot as a movie, which, you know, it might seem like a subtle difference between that and, like, you know, something like the Batman movies or some shit. But just the way that the movie presents itself as being just kind of a vertical slice in a larger universe, not a lot of movies, even the Marvel Cinematic movies, tend to pen themselves in to, you know, only what's shown on screen.
Yeah.
So having that is actually really, really refreshing. And I can, my biggest concern for this moving forward is that Fox doesn't get all, like, you know, they're getting a taste of blood in the water now. They're getting really excited about the fact that Deadpool's doing so well. Now I hope they don't try to funny up other properties. You know what I mean?
Like
X-Force, the one that they're talking about doing now, like X-Force is a pretty grim book, actually. Like, X-Force is about, like, Wolverine puts together, well, the current X-Force, I guess. Wolverine puts together this force of, like, this Black Ops force that are meant to go out in the world and just, like, kill people who are a problem for him, you know?
And Suicide Squad-ish.
Yes, they're very, like, Suicide Squad of X-Men kind of thing. They're supposed to be a huge secret. The members are, like, Archangel and Psylocke and Wolverine, and Deadpool's there. Like, Deadpool's kind of like the comedic relief, but, like, everything else that's going on is, like, really kind of fucked. For instance, there was a big running storyline where Archangel, he's a member of the team, and he still has, like, the power that's, like, was imbued in him by Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And they know that at some point Archangel's going to lose it. Like, he's going to lose his mind and he's going to turn evil. And when that happens, they're going to have to kill him. Like, there are parts in the story where, like, they're all training together, and then they'll be like, hey, Archangel, can you leave the room? And then he'll leave the room, and the rest of them will train on how to kill him. and Psylocke is, like,
gullible.
Well, he knows it's coming. Like, he knows it's going to happen, and he's, you know, he doesn't want to hurt his friends.
Yeah.
And Psylocke and Archangel have this huge, like, this big romance, and, like, they're really in love with each other, but they know that this moment is coming, And like when it actually does finally come, it's like it's fucking heartbreaking. Like there's a lot of really heavy shit going on here.
Like, I think you're right. Like, I don't want them to muck up other movies by making them unnecessarily humorous, because it does feel very much like a Deadpool thing. I would love to see how this character, unchanged,
fits into a
more serious, grim movie. I think it would still fit great. It would just
For sure. I mean, Deadpool works amazingly in the X-Force books. I guess what I'm saying is I hope that the lesson here isn't that funny is what sells necessarily, but more that these movies can be R-rated, these movies can be a little more mature,
mm-hmm.
and still do well enough. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, it's especially a situation where, you know, you look at other films and they have huge fucking budgets, and they... Like, a lot of them have had budgets that are way more than this, but then opening weekend, they don't do anywhere near as good.
Yeah.
Like, this movie, I don't remember.
This movie has already made back its money.
I think. Opening weekend it did.
Yeah.
For sure.
And has nowhere to go from then nowhere to go from here but up. Yep. They're just going to... Yeah, it's one of those things where you don't have to... I mean, so big, huge action sequences, while awesome, they aren't necessary. You know, the biggest event in this is, like, the helicarrier thing at the end.
Yeah.
Other than that, look at all the scenes. Like, they reused the fucking Weasel's bar, the St. Mary's with Weasel. They used that bar scene like 5 or 6 times. Oh, yeah. You know, they have like one tiny apartment for him and Vanessa.
Dude, a surprisingly large chunk of this movie takes place on that overpass bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not. Yeah. It kind of feels small. And I was thinking about that, especially in the first and second act. Like, the movie feels kind of small, but mm-hmm. they do a lot with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about it, about, you know, the talent. Like, they had some really talented people involved with this movie that were able to take, like, especially when you find out you're about to lose $7 million out of your budget, and then take that money that you've lost and still squeeze every bit out of it that you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm super excited. I don't know if there's much more to be said about it right now. I
did want to mention one last thing that I loved in the movie. It's when they're on their way to the final battle.
Yeah.
And Dopinder picks them up in his taxi.
Yes.
Yes.
And they hear the noise from the trunk.
Yes.
And it turns out that it was what's his name?
His cousin. Rival.
Yeah, his romantic rival, his cousin that was after Geeta, and he's like, oh, I did what you said, Mr. Poole, and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I did not tell him to do that. Good job. He's like talking very loudly at Colossus and Negasonic. He's like, you know, this, you should not be doing what you're doing. And then it's just like fucking,
it's
and
he's so
like,
good.
You should let him go and win Geeta's heart normally, or like win Geeta's heart by romantic gestures.
Kidnapper.
Like, it's like fucking like fantastic.
That actor too, who plays the cab driver.
Dopinder.
His name is Karan Sani, mm-hmm. I think it is. And he actually, just as a side note, he stars in a sitcom called Other Space, which oddly enough is a Yahoo Screen exclusive. If you guys ever get a chance to watch that, I fucking love that show, and he's very, very, very funny in that show. And he's starting to pop up in a lot of more mainstream things now, and I couldn't be happier. Like, I think he's a funny guy. But
sweet.
Before we wrap it up, what were your favorite moment? What was your favorite moment from the movie?
Favorite moment? I mean, honestly, this is kind of feels like a cop out. My favorite moment from the movie is literally when he drops through the roof of the SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that whole action sequence was so incredible, just the way it was choreographed and filmed, and on top of that was hilarious, just completely hilarious. Like, it's just, I think, like, when you look back on, like, action movies, especially, like, superhero action movies, that's going to be, like, one of a standout scene for me.
That's a good moment. That's a good one.
Have you seen this man? I love it when he puts the... He puts the cigarette lighter in his mouth. He's like, see this, but don't swallow.
Don't swallow.
Picking out one scene is tough. I mean, we talked about a lot of the great scenes that were in the movie, but I mean, I think my my favorite scene is probably the end of what Nick was talking about, like after that fight sequence is over, and just literally the him, you know, talking with Francis, and then Colossus and Negasonic show up, and that whole like back and forth between him and Colossus, and you know he's like kind of touting on Negasonic. He's like, oh, you're just a teenager who can only, you know, only speaks in long sullen silences or witty remarks or whatever, and he's like, so what, which one is it? She's like, Dad, you got me in a box. Like, she's like that whole like entire like sequence, I just thought was, you know, the writing's really well done. Him like trying to fight Colossus and breaking all his limbs, and
speaking of which, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, is that her name?
Yes.
Yep.
I thought she was pretty good, and I actually I like
her outfit was like the fact that they put her in these like spandex X-Men outfit.
Yeah, she looks straight out of the comics, and she and her banter with Deadpool, I thought it was you know, minimal. It was not a whole lot of it, but I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling I know what Crispy's favorite moment is, but I'm gonna let you.
You know what it is. It's one of the most subtle jokes in the movies, but it made me squeal with joy when it happened during the final fight when he's fighting all of Francis's henchmen.
Oh yeah.
And he's about to punch that one guy, and he's like, "Wait, Bob? Like, Bob is actually a character." Like,
yeah.
Bob, Agent of Hydra, he's like, he was one of my favorite parts about Deadpool when I started reading Deadpool. Essentially, he's just a regular, like, kind of cowardly bullshit guy who gets pressured by his wife into joining Hydra because they have really good benefits packages, and, like, full dental and shit like that. And Deadpool runs into him on a mission where he's rescuing somebody from Hydra, I can't remember who, and he basically kidnaps Bob, and Bob becomes his like de facto henchman slash sidekick for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up a bunch of stuff on the DC Comics the Marvel Comics database mm-hmm. while we've been talking, and I found Bob's page. And at the bottom of these pages, they always have like strengths and weaknesses, and under strength level, it says a normal human male who does not exercise, and under weaknesses, it just says so many. Also, his cowardice. and actually, the funny thing about Bob is he's a Hydra agent. Fox shouldn't have permission to use him. So we can't really assume that
well,
Bob, I guess,
was,
yeah, it might not pay.
They never say Hydra. Yeah. They never really clarify who he is, just that he's some dude named Bob who happened to be at a TGI Fridays in Jacksonville with Wade Wilson at some point in the past.
You know,
but,
this is the world we live in, and like this is all business. It's big business, and they have these different studios that own different parts of this universe. It's splintered these universes, which is unfortunate. But like, I feel like even studio heads, like even big film studios, should be able to say, hey, we're all in this together making this really cool universe. Don't worry about it. Just use Bob. Like, what the fuck? What is it going to hurt?
But the thing is, Nick, they own Bob. And you know what? Maybe one day, 50, 60 years from now, they might want to use him.
They might. So, yeah, they might do Bob, Agent of Hydra.
The yeah. Movie. So they say fuck it to the other. It's Nick. It's
people.
Those out after.
99% of them are pure assholes who just want money, and it sucks.
It does suck.
But I need to amend my favorite scene.
Okay.
Because, well, I think it's tough between the one I mentioned earlier and the montage of Where's Francis? When he first puts on his outfit, his not real outfit, his just like a white fucking hoodie, and he's running around like, "Where's Francis? Donde está Francis?" And like he's like just Francis. like fighting all these people, and like there's a scene where he's like fighting some girls, and he's like, "Is it sexist to hit a girl? Is it sexist to not hit a girl?"
Yeah, he has that little crisis.
Yeah, just like that entire montage and him learning like to wear red or whatever, and you know that I fucking love that scene. And once again, it's a situation where so little was used, you know what I'm saying? Like they not a whole lot, you know. It's just
they could have
like,
probably filmed all of that in a day,
probably. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it shows you how I don't want to say small the film is, but I don't know how well they used what they had.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
Which is really fucking cool. And you know what I can't wait for?
What?
I cannot wait for
the Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray with the extras, man.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Right?
Because in that interview, Ryan Reynolds said they shot like 40 or 50 like marketing commercials or whatever. He's like, and people have only seen like 11 or 12 of them. And he's like, I'm pretty sure they're all going to be on the Blu-ray. And I was like, oh my God.
I did see a thing with TJ Miller, who played Weasel. He was talking about that the scene when they were in the bar and they were talking about, you know, he looks like an avocado who fucked the old avocado Tom or whatever. Raffle. Apparently that went on for hours. And he's like, and some of them were just too dark. Some of them were just too dark.
I hope they just put that whole, like, that whole
It would be nice, yeah.
TJ Miller's a funny guy.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame we didn't really mention him more, but I thought he was great too.
Well, TJ Miller was there, and that's always great. So
yeah,
exactly.
That's all the mention he needs.
Yes, correct. I feel like there was one more thing I was going to say, and I think I lost it.
Yes.
Anyways, I can't wait for the Blu-ray.
Can't wait for Deadpool 2. Can't wait for X-Force. Maybe we'll get an X-Factor movie if we live in a perfect world. I don't know. I hope.
Maybe. I mean, to that extent, I'll just say that I'm really glad that movies are going the way they are. I mean, we're getting so many. And, you know, while we are still seeing Batman and Superman and Spider-Man, the fucking things we've been seeing for 20 years, like the big ones are the only ones that get movies. Now we're starting to get these other people who deserve movies.
We live in a day and age.
We're digging deep.
Yeah. We live in a day and age when, like, celebrities in Hollywood are like, they're like waiting for their moment to enter the Marvel or DC cinematic universe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just like, can't wait to until they find a part for me. And it's like, I feel like by the time this is all said and done, like, every major name in Hollywood will have a place in the fucking universe.
Which will be some kind of fucking superhero slash film. Guys, there are actually active rumors flying around right now of a Booster Gold Blue Beetle movie coming out. Like, this is an amazing world we live in.
Hey, I like Blue Beetle.
Dude, Blue Beetle, Ted Kord is fucking amazing. Those two together are the best. I like, I know everyone's getting real sick of superheroes, except for, like, superhero fans. And not every one of these movies is really all that great.
Definitely.
But this is kind of a good time. This is kind of a good time if you like superheroes.
It is definitely good. And, you know, we'll have several more popcorn casts where we'll have a chance to talk about superheroes. We're gonna see
Suicide
Captain
Squad.
America. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad, Captain America, Batman vs. Superman, Daredevil Season 2.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, next month. That's coming up.
So I'm pretty sure we'll have a popcorn cast for all of those at some point. At least if y'all are down, I am down.
Totes.
I'm going to watch them all, so yes.
So I think we should go ahead and end it here, but if you're listening, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the movie as much as we did. And if you haven't seen it, then you just spoiled the shit out of it for yourself.
You fool!
You're a fool, but you should still go see it. I guess we'll leave it at that. Anything else y'all want to say before we cut it?
I'm good.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been our second episode of the Four
Maximum
Player Popcorn Cast.
Effort.
We also recorded one of these for Star Wars. We also recorded one of these for Star Wars The Force Awakens, so go check that out. But we'll do another one of these when the next big movie comes out.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
And Nick, you were recording this, right?
Shut up. No.